King Vortigern!
King Vortigern!
Why is the water dropped?
There are rumors. The legend of the sword. Of a king other than yourself.
Find him.
I know your story. What kind of a man would you become had you inherited your father's kingdom instead of being raised in a brothel?
Run, son!
What gave you such drive?
Welcome to another movie podcast, a show that pickpockets the paupers, fights Vikings, protects brothels, all in service of controlling any kingdom out there. I think those are the steps to owning a kingdom, right? Taking control, reigning, yeah? I think so. I'm right.
Be a pimp.
Welcome, this is Mal. We should introduce ourselves, I guess. I'm Oscar. Who are you, Ralph?
Ralph.
Nice. This is a bonus episode for the month of May, and we are reviewing King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Ching!
Another King Arthur-esque film.
Esque? It's a fucking King Arthur film.
Well, so
I know what you're meaning, though.
Yeah, so shut up.
But before we get into it, you can follow me at GamerRalph.
No, we'll get to that. We're just, fine. Now, with two R's and an F. I mean, Jesus, he's so impatient.
I'm not being impatient. I'm just saying.
You thought I was going to forget.
No. I didn't know you think you were going to forget. I just wanted to get it out of the way so fast so we can just get into this fucking review.
Oh, you want to get into it right away?
Yeah, let's do this.
Well, I mean, what's the rush here? I mean, King Arthur had to wait a long time for him to get his...
He wasn't even a king before he was that.
Revenge. You know, he had to plan things and do montages that were cooler than the movie.
For sure, right.
He had to do a lot of things.
Yep.
You can follow me and Armin Filmmaker on Twitter if you prefer, if you go for that kind of thing. Not that I'm ever on there. I am, but just rarely. Feedback. Where can people send feedback, Ralph? You never say this.
Somewhere.
We're very lazy today.
Something about...
podmoviecast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, there. Also, podmoviecast.twitter.
Dot Twitter, yes.
Twitter.
Oh, I just said
whatever.
Dot Twitter.
Yeah, but who cares about that? It's a bonus episode. You already know this.
Right, it's a bonus episode. Most likely you're listening to this 5 months later after it's released.
Yeah, because you're cheap. Anyways, so...
It's fine to be cheap, but it's all cool. It's out there anyway. The whole point is that we're reviewing this in the month it came out.
Yeah.
We saw it like last week. Anyway, so King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, Guy Ritchie film. Let's get into it. Let's see what this is about.
Let me defend this movie, apparently.
Robbed of his birthright and being raised in the backways of the city, Arthur is forced to dethrone King Vortigern, strange name, after pulling the legendary sword from the stone. You have to defend this movie, right? Is that what you feel?
Well, the moment you brought this movie into the podcast, you were just like, another... King Arthur
It is another. They're all, I mean, it's like...
I get it. We have one every, like, 10 years, right?
No, less.
When's the last one? And don't say, like a week ago.
What do you mean, like, a week ago?
Or when this movie came out. Don't say, like, the one this year.
Oh. What about this one this year? looks like pretty blatant to me.
All right.
Well, there have been...
I do agree.
I just don't really...
Right. No, I do agree that it comes up a lot. There was even a show called Merlin, and it had fucking Arthur in it and all that shit.
Yeah, and there's that Disney animated feature, which I liked, actually, The Sword and the Stone. Because that whole thing ends...
That was forever ago, though.
Taking the sword. Right. Which is the best one?
That was a long time ago.
What the fuck? I mean, if there's more than five, there's too many.
Okay. But you make it sound like...
There's more... Okay.
But you make it sound like they're coming out, like, and you're being...
I'm sure there is. Excalibur is another movie.
Listen, you're making it sound like
That's four right there we mentioned.
You're making it sound like the Transformer movies that just keep coming out.
No, it's not this. No, I mean, they're different people when we make it.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to think of another example. It's got to be another example.
It's a good story, that's why.
No, it's always terrible on film. The only reason Sword and Stone work because it has nothing to do with any of that. He ends it with him pulling the sword.
Yeah, right, of course.
Like, it's a different thing.
Sure.
This one's...
Okay. Well, let's get into it.
Jesus.
My apologies. This movie, directed by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Starring... Go ahead, you have it in front of you.
Do I have... I mean, it doesn't tell me that. It usually tells me the writer director right here, but it's not telling me shit right now.
Who cares? We know it's Guy Ritchie.
Well, it's
Guy.
I want to see who wrote it, man. Who wrote it?
Who
Screenplay,
wrote it?
Who wrote write it? Yeah, who speaks English well? Written by Joby Harold, Guy Ritchie as well, Lionel Wigram.
It's a lot of fucking people.
Story by Jacob whatever and David Dopkin. Yeah, a lot of people had their fingers in these pies. It stars Charlie Hunnam. The mofo from The Lost City of Z. It's his month.
You probably know him from, you know.
Oh, yeah. Sons of Anarchy. Pacific Rim, right?
Sons of Anarchy, you know?
I mean, I like Pacific Rim more.
Sure, yeah.
And, yeah, fine. That movie, too.
Show.
What's that? Show. What's that? There's another movie that was big with him in it.
I forget.
He was going to be the 50 Shades of Grey guy, but he didn't. In the movie.
Good for him.
Well, I don't think anybody in that cast wouldn't have been good for anyone. It also has Astrid Burgess Frisbee. Her name is Frisbee.
Okay.
Astrid Frisbee. She plays the mage in the movie. Okay. Also stars Jude Law as the vile King Vortigern.
Right. Jude Law, who hasn't acted in forever or feels like it.
What do you mean? He was just on the HBO fucking.
I said or feels like Pope. It. Or feels
He's
like
in it.
It.
Every year is a movie with him in it.
What was last year's movie?
I want to find out.
Oh, it's motherfucker.
What? I'm not a fucking walking encyclopedia.
You have a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, I do. I'm about to tell you.
2016? What was his
2016.
Movie?
He was a... Oh, yeah. Genius. Like I've seen it. I haven't seen that. But he was in a movie in 2016. Before that, he was in a movie called... Oh, he was in Spy. 2015. So I'm just saying, he's in Black Sea the year before, which I actually think is a cool movie.
Okay.
And then the Grand Boot. Yeah, so, you know, shit. All so.
Right. I just feel like he was doing a lot of, like, headline actors roles.
Well, yeah, then he was losing his hair. He got older, too old for it to be a handsome leading man because Hollywood's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course that's going to happen.
Sure.
I mean, he played the weird journalist villain in Contagion.
That's right.
That's contagion for you folks. Yeah.
That's the contagion
is what we call it. Also stars Jimin Hyunsu. I think that's how you say his name.
Sure.
He's like a, I don't know what he is now. He used to be a good actor. Anyway, Eric Bana, Aidan Gillen, who plays Littlefinger, you know, he's in there. You can't forget his face. Can you?
You really can't.
You really, really can't. Yeah, the rest are just bit parts, really. I mean, there's nothing, it kind of stops there. I mean, there's a lot of people on this movie. So, King Arthur. Okay, without spoilers, Rob, we're doing that spoiler-free thing now. What did you think of this movie? Now, this movie, I should say, Guy Ritchie, he's been into this lately. His last three films have been, actually, his last four films, I want to say, have been period pieces, but made in the style of today. I'm talking Sherlock Holmes, Sherlock Holmes 2. Well, that counts, bitch.
I didn't say it, did it?
Well, you laughed.
Right, it just feels like...
Because they're two movies.
Okay.
Set in the whatever.
Sure.
And then the other movie is this one, and then The Man from U.N.C.L.E. All these movies are period films, but they're made with current music and more kinetic. Like, it's not shown like it's from that. Like, their actions
sure.
are not from those periods. But the look of it is, and they say that from there. So they're... You know, they don't have cell phones, I guess. But that's as far as it goes, you know. The movie still feels like a 2016, 2017 movie or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, with that style in mind, what did you think of Guy Ritchie's latest project?
I thought it looked cool, visually.
And it stops there.
No. I think there's a lot going on in this movie. I think Guy Ritchie's got his hands all over this fucking movie. By meaning that, because Guy Ritchie has a sort of style, I would say... And he definitely throws his style into the story of King Arthur. He obviously changes up a lot of the things or a lot of the things that happens in the story from whatever, the comeuppance and such. But overall, I had fun watching the movie. I did not have fun. What's it called? I said not twice. So I had fun watching it. There was a lot of cool scenes. I just felt like... there was no legend to the sword. It was a weird thing.
No, the legend was that it gave him power.
Sure, yeah. It was just this weird thing. And I did feel like it kind of rushed at the very end.
I want to say also, I think a good point for, like, before spoilers is when he pulls the sword out. What do you think?
So anything before that is good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, cool. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah, because you can't.
But
really...
we know he's gonna fucking pull the sword. Okay, it's not a fucking spoiler. Okay, just come. He's gonna pull that fucking sword out. He's gonna successfully do it. He's going to be a dick about it when he does it, too, because he was very, very slick.
Oh, my God. The bravado on that motherfucker.
Yeah. So, I mean, go ahead. Continue.
Just, yeah. That's cool. That's all I had.
Oh, okay. So, I overall like his style, Guy Ritchie. Now, if I kind of not grew up, but I definitely have seen his films as they've come up. Like, so I've been very contemporary on Guy Ritchie.
Same here.
And also it also explains the childishness of my age at that time.
Yeah, the only one I didn't see when it came up was Lock, Stock.
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Yeah, maybe that one. I was like a year or two later, but it wouldn't have been that much more.
Sure.
And then Snatch, of course. Snatch is clearly his biggest hit, at least among the fans.
Yeah.
And then he's done, I forgot some of the other ones, but I know. And then he
Rock and Roller. Holmes.
Rock and Roller, which I enjoyed, but it definitely has some plot problems. So I don't think he cared about that though. There's another one too I keep forgetting, but it doesn't matter, he's out there. I would say that Guy Ritchie is also in the same, he can be held in the same breath as part of my boyish childhood upbringing, kind of, or into my adulthood, which speaks to my immaturity of the time. Is that you know, same thing with Kevin Smith. You know, I feel like I followed his works as I went along,
same here,
being a dick and fart jokes, and this guy Guy Ritchie is the dick and fart jokes of you know, like swearing and of like violence.
Yeah, of how they swear.
And how they portray violence, sure, too, because a lot of death and a lot of interesting ways to die, too. Very strange stuff. So, he's not great. Guy Ritchie is not like the greatest. I mean, whatever. I think his last year or the year before is The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is a remake of a television show from the 60s, I think. I think that was probably might be his best movie that isn't Snatched.
Yeah, that was a home run for me.
Yeah.
That worked out really well.
That was such a good movie. I don't know where, but he found the tone just right.
I think also he did find the tone just right, yeah. It wasn't blatantly out there,
yeah,
but it was. Like,
I'm curious what I mean, at first when I saw that, I was like, okay, finally, his deal with Sherlock Holmes is more recent, before those movies, I mean, like in Rock and Roller and that other one I keep forgetting. Revolver, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Is like those movies were clearly experiments to get him to be this good to make The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And then he does King Arthur, which I feel is like a step back for me. I'm like, I wonder where that movie went right and the other went wrong. I'm curious, but not that curious either. But anyway, really love that movie. So I just think that he has a childish nature of his filming style that it's just very popcorn heavy, which makes King Arthur, unfortunately, just a good, decent action movie to kind of just watch and forget, which is unfortunate because I wish I had something more to it. And I'd say that the first half of the movie, great opening. I love the opening. I love his upbringing, the kid's upbringing. I was going to say, what's this kid's name? Like, oh, it's Arthur. What a wonderful kind of day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I love all that. And, you know, basically, like, up until they start, you know, up until a little after the pulling of the sword. So, and that's not euphemizing. He literally pulls a sword out. You guys know the story, right? He pulls a sword out of a stone.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I'm doing a bit. Failed miserably. So, yeah, I liked it. I liked the movie. But I will never watch it again. And, I mean, maybe just the
honestly,
montages.
The montages are pretty cool. When this comes out on HBO, because I think it's an HBO kind of film.
Yeah, it does feel like an HBO kind of film.
It's going to be on HBO. And if it's on TV, like just me channel surfing... Mm. I'll put it on because I just know.
I mean, I've never channel surfed in my life. Been so long.
I channel surf.
I know, but I never do it, so I never probably will find myself in that situation.
I'm usually on Nat Geo or Nat Geo Wild.
I don't know what the National Geographic. Yeah. I got it now. Sorry.
The History Channel.
That's how often I go on there.
I don't know. That's usually what I watch TV for.
I hear you.
Or sports.
So, what did you think of the camera style? You think it melded well? I mean, did you really
his style?
Like, can you see his style?
I really like the beginning of this where they did not shy away from this world had magic in it and a bunch of shit's going on.
And giant elephants.
And all this crazy things going on. I love that. And they kind of hint that this sword has magic abilities, right? In the beginning of the movie. What's it called?
I like how the stone was his father.
Yeah, are we already in spoilers?
Is that a spoiler? Didn't that happen at the end of the story in the beginning?
They didn't say that, though.
Oh,
that's a spoiler. Wait, a spoiler.
I mean, Jesus. That's a spoiler. I thought they showed it in the beginning of the movie. Well, now it's spoiler because you brought it up. If you didn't say anything, nobody would
know. They show that he throws it up in the air, I think, or something.
And then he dies right after.
But they don't show that. They just
leave it. So it's clearly pointing down the way down. God. I mean, okay, then you have to be a dumbass not to see it.
All right. Sure, that may be there.
Okay, fine.
But whatever.
All right, sure.
Anyways.
Spoiler.
Father's fine.
Well, now that we talked about it, that is a really cool way why right. that sword is in the stone.
Come on.
Yeah. It's cool. Makes sense. It's cool. It's pretty cool.
I like it. What created the water to subside to reveal the stone? Do you remember what it was? You know, because something happened, and then they say, "Oh, there's a sword in a stone, sir." To the Jude Law's character.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Mm. I forgot already. That's how much of a thing it was just for me, an action kind of film.
Yeah, I know.
This is heavy dialogue too, though. There's so much talking in this movie. It's more like it's so much explaining doing through talking instead of showing it to you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of explaining going on here, and it's both visual and verbal. Literally a lot of the scenes are like, well, we're going to do this. And then they go step by step doing it. And they're showing you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Almost like in a future say, like they're planning something that they're doing, but they're showing you what they're doing it right. later on already.
Yeah.
It's classic on some stuff. And Guy Ritchie especially.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen other directors do it. I would say some better, but some way worse too. So he did a good job. I think all the conversations that Arthur has with his minions, or friends, or whatever, or his compadres, because he has different types. He meets eventually these other people, that are part of the not the underground, but like the kind of like the military and political leaders that didn't agree with the rise of the Jude Law as a king. There's conversations with them, and there's conversations with Arthur's buddies that he grew up with and became like had a business of thievery and shit. And running brothels together. Like, I think all those scenes where they were like part montage, part storytelling, like, I think they were all cool. And his montage of him growing up as a kid to becoming, that was really cool, saving all the money, for example, like all the gold that he could scrape off. That was really cool. And I like how that was shot and filmed, gave you a real nice sense of the kinetic nature of what's to come in the action. And it gave you a nice sense of like, what kind of adult film you're watching, you know? I think that was really good. That's clearly the best scenes for me. I like that scenes a lot.
Right.
And then the opening, of course. So what do you think of the opening? The opening is way different, obviously. It's because Arthur is like a baby at that time.
I liked it. I mean, I thought you're establishing some characters that we don't see until like midway through the movie again.
In a flashback,
right. So you establish some characters. You establish the rise and the fall of what's it called? King Arthur's dad. Or Arthur's dead.
Londonium?
Yeah, whatever his name was. Who cares? Yeah. And you establish that, right? And it's interesting how, like, I thought this is great war and why there's lack of magic now or in Arthur's time.
Yeah.
And or why there's lack of just, you know, people being blatant about it, should I say. That was really cool. And I really, really liked the beginning for that reason.
Did you think that Eric Bana was clearly hired to reenact his Troy thing? Because the Troy, he plays a military leader where his family has to escape the eventual downfall of Troy. And this one, he's doing the exact same fucking thing. I think he has the same conversation with his wife about him, his last day with her. Like, I swear to God, in both movies.
Right.
Right? Right before he perishes.
All right, so you remember your role in Troy, right? Yeah. So listen.
It's
not like verbatim. We changed like three words.
It's really just your name and her name.
Right.
And your son's name. Three words.
Yeah. But can you just do that for us?
I would say his downfall in Troy was much more awesome than this one. I would say that for sure. Troy, watch it. It's a better movie than it looks.
Yeah.
But not great either. Maybe great. I don't know. So, King Arthur, we're kind of fucking around with this movie because the movie kind of inspires to be fucked around with. So it's fine. And I think I don't think the movie needed to be 2 hours and 6 minutes. I also know that Guy Ritchie likes to, you know, not over-explain, but show a lot. He likes to play with stuff. He likes to talk a lot. He likes his dialogue, dude. I mean, Snatch is all fucking dialogue, one giant dialogue thing. I did like those montages and shit, but I don't need it.
Yeah, the montages are cool. That's what makes it his movie, right?
Yeah.
Anything else is just any other Joe Schmo director. That's the difference right there to me. The that whole
montages with the dialogue going on.
You're right. That felt the most Guy Ritchie.
Right, exactly.
But what does it say about the movie that the core of the movie, the main plot or the main driven core, the characteristics?
Well, it's a story being told by the director. The director is telling us the story, right?
Yeah.
And we already know the story. We could not watch this movie and be like, I know what the fuck happens, guys.
Well, a lot is made up already. The whole,
sure. A lot. Right, right.
I never knew about this. Well, I mean, king you could sacrificing his wife.
Right, or that is a crazy shit, right? Yeah. But what I'm saying, and then his daughter.
Well, that's spoiler.
Yeah, that is spoiler.
Right? Fucker.
See, I thought we were talking spoilers already.
Not yet.
Because we mentioned the sword already.
That's a free reign to say shit.
Might as well.
Okay, I guess we.
Regardless.
Still getting better at stuff.
Yeah.
And I could edit it, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah. And it's beep.
Yeah.
We're being told a story that we know what happens. Arthur is going to take the sword from the stone and become king. Or is king already, right? Because of the sword.
Man.
That much we know. And everything else is like different interpretations of things, right? So like you can go from different stories or you can go from original script or whatever this story
is. And there's
told.
No original. This is a myth.
That's what I'm saying.
There's nothing. Exactly. No, that's ever happened. It's not based on history.
Right.
Right. So yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. I get it. So you think that he probably thought that he needed to really put a stamp on this version of it, and doing so is doing things like making it longer than most.
It's if I was telling you a story, and I'm going to say it my way.
The fight scenes, making the...
Well, yeah, it's like me telling you a story and
like,
saying it
like
his
double
way.
Downing on the magic and the
for sure.
dialogue. Okay.
He said it his way, the way he thought it sounded better or looked cooler or whatever. Mm-hmm. In the end, the key things are still there.
Yeah. All right. I'll buy it. I'll buy that reasoning. I'm not saying I'm still in it. But,
sure, of course. Yeah.
But that's a good reason. Okay.
You're welcome.
Let's just do spoilers now
before we spoil the whole fucking thing. Yeah.
Before we spoil more, even though it doesn't really matter with this movie.
All right, we're into spoilers
now.
I suppose you want to know what happened to me.
I don't want to push you, but George?
Riots are spreading. Not just in Londinium, across the whole country. People are fighting for you.
If there was ever a chance, it's now.
It's not going to last. But, like you said, we're not going to push you.
I'm ready. We're going to take the castle. And we're going in the front door. George, I need you to go to Londinium. Gather the lads. Where's the mage?
She's back at the cave.
All right.
Now, when you say we're going to take the castle, what does that mean?
I thought you said you weren't going to push me. Come on, lads. Chop, chop.
King Arthur dies. What a fucking shock. Holy now shit. Eventually down the future in part two.
Now we're lying to people. Does he die? No, he doesn't.
No,
he doesn't. So he's making something round at the end, see? Something
oval.
Of a circular fit. Yeah, it looked more oval to me.
Yeah.
So all said and done, Ralph. I feel like this movie is mainly about the fall of King Vortigern. Vortigern.
Jude Law. So much easier to say Jude Law.
I know, that's what I've been saying before. So it's mainly about the fall of Jude Law. What do you think of his character and the way it all ended up and mashed up for him? Because I don't think he has anything interesting in this movie other than the funny thing is that, and it's awful, is that he sacrifices his wife to gain the kingdom. And he sacrifices his daughter to try to keep it. That's fucked up. But it's funny because it's the most interesting thing about him is that he has to make these deals with these weird devils that happen to like lay low in his basement. Such a weird thing that came out. Not out of nowhere, but there's no explanation to it. And it's fine, I guess. But it does bring up a big boss battle that I feel like more and more movies are doing that in a way it does not look really cool. Yeah, that guy looked cool.
No.
By the way, that guy looked like a Dark Souls 3 fucking villain.
Oh yeah,
Jesus!
Right.
I have a flashback.
It looked very video game-ish. Also.
Yeah, it did. And so some
Which
of the
is not my,
some,
I don't
some of the
it.
The fighting, fast paced moving, the CGI clearly like made up stuff. Did not look. It wasn't rendered to my liking. It looked very Matrix Reloaded to me.
Okay.
A little bit. Not meaning better than that, but not much better.
Sure.
Someone's gonna say that out there for anyone who's still listening and hasn't seen it yet. So, what say you? About the king, this thing, the king's of the fighting stuff, what do you think?
Well, Jude Law's character, very two-dimensional. just nothing to it.
I mean, he looks like he's having fun chewing scenery.
But. Sure, yeah. I mean, it looks like a guy who never had it together. He never actually had true power. He was just like this pawn the whole time, obviously being used. And then just when he's trying to hold it all together, he was never meant to be there anyway.
Well, it's funny because he was trying to... So he was clearly the more the sniveling kind of guy. He joined powers with a mage that was more powerful than him. And then together they were going to take this kingdom. But that guy died in the process in the giant elephant thing because Arthur's father, Eric Bana from Troy, kills him, right? In kind of cool way. In a very, like he had no sweat on him. And then when the plan does work, it works where only the sniveling guy gets to be the king owner. He doesn't have to keep his pact with whatever this mage, which is out of nowhere, this other supervillain that was a part of, there's a big part of the whole movie. It's just there in one flashback, right? And that's it.
Yeah.
It's a very strange thing.
It is.
Because they basically introducing an important character, like the same, like kind of like Palpatine in a way, without knowing anything. But also, those movies did have that problem, and those old movies, I mean, the original Star Wars, there's just this, okay, he's just a king, ruler guy with nothing, right. No background. He's the same thing. And Jude Law is more of the Darth Vader type with an actual past and stuff. But he's still second in command, even though there's no one above him. It's a weird feeling, and it felt wrong in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree.
What I do like, really cool thing, what did you think about the sword, the background of the sword?
Well, remind me. I don't
know. Oh, you forgot? So remember how they do this whole Dark World thing?
Oh, shit!
Yeah. So how the sword was made, Merlin broke the staff. Of the head honcho's staff in the magic world, mm-hmm. right? Which is the whole reason they wanted to take his power. Like, that's where they lied.
Yeah.
He broke it down and he made it into the sword, right? And then he binded that sword to... He gave that sword to somebody, right? Who ended up giving it to Arthur, who binded it to Arthur and mm-hmm. his lineage. Only they can use that sword. Or the potential of the sword, anyway.
Right.
And actually, if you looked at the sword, I thought I saw this detail. It kind of looked like it was made out of wood. Like it had like wood detailing on the sword. Yeah, it looked kind of like that.
The blade side, you mean?
Yeah, the blade side, exactly. It looked like wood detailing on it, like because it was from a staff. Yeah. So that's why it has its magic abilities, because the sword has abilities. And the sword is like if you're the lineage of of Arthur, which I forget his last name. Whatever.
Arthurson.
Arthurson, yes.
Yes.
Well, they say it because the king's name is whatever. King whatever.
I think Vortigern is his first name.
Oh, like, that sucks. He had
rough parents.
That's rough, yeah. So, yeah, that whoever uses that can wield a sword, right? Mm-hmm. And use the abilities of the sword, which is obviously for defense or whatever the hell they want to use it for, which is why Eric Bana comes out and fucking... head chopped off.
Oh yeah.
And he's just like, I'm badass.
Annihilates.
Right.
Annihilates. Yeah, so that was cool. Yeah, I remember some of that. I remember him traveling to another realm.
Yeah.
And it was all cool visuals. Well,
it's a cool thing because you never hear from the story. It's like the Sword in the Stone, for example, is just a sword in a stone that's we don't know if it's a magical ability. We just know
it's like Thor's hammer.
Yeah, it's like Thor's hammer.
No one but one can worthy, right?
Right.
Can lift it. Yeah. Now,
when the difference of this worthiness is...
Right, yeah, it takes the power off of that because my understanding always before is that if you're worthy and pure of heart gets to pull the stone out, this diminishes that thing completely by saying, no, only the lineage of this one rich guy. Right? It does diminish that power of the Sword and Stone 100%. And that is a big problem when it talks about, like, at least, because at the very least, if you're going to fucking make a movie of another, you know, because it's been remade into shows and movies, and you're going to make it your own, I get that. But you're going to have to hold true to the myth in some way, and you can't diminish it more by doing something so blatantly wrong and violating the whole premise of the fucking Sword and the Stone by making it this whole lineage thing only, you know? But no, make Jude Law drag every man between this age and that age, right, to pull it. Like, it's a weird job thing. I don't know. It's,
right.
It wasn't good. I don't think it was. Yeah, I think
also,
it was wrong-headed
sucks
approach.
Balls to live in the past because they're like, oh, you don't have a mark on you? Like, they marked them with, like, burnt or whatever?
Like a nightclub
right. Well, no, not like a nightclub. That's a stamp. But, like...
Oh, you mean... Oh, yeah. Like they burned them.
Yeah, you would actually get burned. Like, oh, that means you haven't been checked. You have to go and get checked. Like, that's fucked up. And like, nowadays, in modern times, you just get this little fucking stamp that glows in the dark with this magical light.
Well, also, like, I think it's more like we don't know if you did it or not. And there's a way to make sure that everyone does it. Because if you're going to do it to yourself, you know, why go through all the trouble? Just let us do it anyway and just pull the fucking sword out.
Exactly.
You know, because it's going to hurt like hell anyway. And you also got to get it right. If you get it wrong, people know, hey, that's the wrong sign. Get to do it, bitch. And that's two words.
Right.
Right? So I think that's why, is my point. But not that I have to say it, but I get your point. I don't even want to talk about the ending. I mean, so the only thing I want to talk about is him sacrificing his daughter, which I wish they spent anything more than a minute on her, because we knew nothing about her.
I didn't even know it was his daughter.
I didn't know it was his daughter. I thought it was like a concubine, for all I know, because his wife has been dead. And by the way, his daughter and his wife, they look like very cool people. Like, how did he, was he a good man? Where's the dynamics of this man who was so good to have these worthy, awesome women by the looks of them? Because his wife was really consoling him. Like, you okay, baby? And all this before he kills her. I'm like, fuck.
His wife made sense. His wife made sense, right?
Yeah, no, but you mean the way she acted? Or?
Yeah. The way his wife made sense and everything, because it looked like he was turning into the dark side before he was already with her and all that shit, right? Yeah. Or around that time, right? That shit made sense for me. Like, that, okay, whatever. I'm sorry, I hate to do this. It crushed him.
Well, yeah, it did.
His daughter made no fucking sense to me.
No, because, like, you've been down this road before.
Like, I'm literally keeping you for this reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost felt weird. Like that.
And his daughter looked like a good person, also. Didn't look like a.
Right.
I don't know. Like,
she wasn't a spoiled fucking princess.
Why not just put her in a cell until you need her?
Right, exactly.
Like, why even?
Well, look, because then you're not caring for her.
But I don't know.
It felt weird.
Weird, not gross weird. It was not a good scene for her. And also, like, it goes a lot into saying that the movie does nothing to explain these people, and or even Jude Law enough to get us to understand this horrible dynamic or this pull-push thing that he's got going on. To make this, because that decision does nothing for me. At all.
Right.
So, I'm just going to put that out there. Other than that, because the movie, for me, it gets worse as it goes along. But that's fine with me. Anything else you want to say on the ending or any other aspect or point? I mean,
they pull a quick...
there's a bunch of things we could talk about, like his training or the one Chinese guy who trains him to be a
the guy from
MMA
Marco
fighter.
Polo, 1,000, whatever.
I haven't seen that show yet. There's many aspects we could talk about. I don't know. What you want to talk about?
You don't want to touch the ending? Is that what it is?
What about the ending you want to touch on?
I don't know.
The round table thing?
That's the very end, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Do you feel like they're trying to play off as if a sequel's coming? Not that it will come, because the movie made no money, from my understanding.
Right, it didn't.
So far, anyway.
Yeah. I guess they were playing for the fact that eventually he makes this into Camelot or whatever. Or it is Camelot already or whatever.
Yeah.
And he does get that. I don't think it was a sequel necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was more like we're playing onto the fact that he is eventually going to lead to this kind of world of Camelot, where he has the Knights of the Round Table and all this kind of thing. Like, you know, he leads by example and all this crazy stuff, which is what we've seen in multiple TV shows and a bunch of other things, story-wise.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. King Arthur and the Knights Around the Table.
What did you think of the mage? There's a lady,
that's another character.
Character we knew nothing about. And
just lame. It was like Merlin sent a mage to keep an eye on you or to help guide you. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you were in one scene. Like, you felt like you were in one scene because you only talked
she was
in
everywhere,
that. Right,
but,
exactly.
Like, didn't say a word.
It was literally your plot fodder. Like, you just need to move the plot along for us. She could have been a fucking scroll and it would have worked out. Like,
read
this book and you'll be good. It would have been the same thing.
She did like a spell here or there, but
right, exactly.
Weird and didn't need it.
There's some cool action stuff, man. I like the fight scenes. I like especially when he first uses a sword and he actually fucking puts both hands on it, right?
Oh, he faints.
No.
Not the actual first time.
When he fights with it.
Because he faints the first time.
Yeah. Cool little what's it called, cameo, which nobody, unless if you're a football fan, football soccer fan like I am, or like most people in the world are, but none in the States.
Yeah, America, wake up already.
You saw Beckham, what's his name? Yeah, that's the guy. He was the soldier who was telling Arthur. He's like, you gotta grab it with two hands.
Really?
Yeah, that was him. Here, I'll pull it up right now on IMDb.
David Beckham?
Yeah, that was David Beckham.
Yeah, I know who Beckham is. Yeah. The one, something about sports I know.
Yeah.
Because I saw a band like Beckham. That's the only reason I know him.
Of course you do.
Fuck you. I know movies. Movie podcasts, son, not a football. Although I do love football.
Boom, David Beckham.
Jesus.
As Trigger, that was his name.
course it is.
Sure. Yeah, he was a commander or whatever. He was just like, he's like, you gotta grab it. He's like, yeah, nothing's happened. You gotta grab it with both hands, idiot, or whatever he keeps telling him, right? That was, yeah.
Yeah.
There's this weird thing where he has this quick, movie-wise, he's got this big swagger to him this whole movie, right? Arthur, not yeah. Beckham. But Arthur has this complete amount of swag, like he has everywhere. And it also, it translates even to, like, when he's learning how to fight and everything. That felt off-putting to me. Mm. Like, he was never, and I'm not saying he has to be humbled by everything or brought down, but he always, like, oh, I have a swagger, it's everything. No matter what I do, it was in him at all times. And I don't know if they were trying to lead, like, well, that's his leadership thing or whatever. It just felt, meh.
I don't know, man. I don't think they were putting effort. I think it was maybe Chong Han just doing Chong Han himself.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe since the picture of the character is that he's very cocky, even if he's a hero, right? Or unnecessarily cocky. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of a reason either. It was misplaced probably, too. No, I haven't thought about it until now. Because I just thought it was like, whatever. It was like, it looked like a, you know, it reminded me like a jock type, you know, in high school or something.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
I also thought the Dark World scene was, although cool, it was like one of those scenes where I wanted to not be fast forward because it would have been cool. And he almost felt like it didn't learn anything from there either. He just went to go.
Wasn't that one of those things where he went there and he was telling the story of going there instead of actually showing us what he went through in there?
Yeah.
That was that moment.
But
right?
He did go.
Yeah, he did go, but he's telling us a story after.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's weird. He comes, yeah, okay. Yeah, that was, I don't know. Like, that was, like, one too much. Like, just show him doing it.
Right.
But I get it. You know, he likes the voiceover.
It wasn't him. It was the mage who tells him, you're going to have to go through this, and then it's him doing all of that.
Okay.
That's what she was like.
Yeah, because I think he likes the voiceover. I don't think... See, that's the thing is that maybe this movie, what it needed is a little more quiet. It needs a character to actually go through something without a lot of noise yeah. and voices.
Well, everything he goes through is all in montages.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no time to fucking look at the trees of this other world or something, you know, do something, you know, like, be in his own skin for a bit. Like, yeah. it's never enough time for that.
Anyway. Right, but it is cool when he does that thing with the Viking and when he's explaining, or him and his two friends.
That was the best one. That's probably the best
one, yeah. Yeah. When him and his friends are explaining it. Because they're all going into the story, and the cop's
asking questions.
The cop's like, he's trying to keep up, and you could tell like he's got most of it going on, but they're obviously trying to swindle him out of.
Oh no, I thought he was just playing because he always had the ace on his sleeve. The fact that he didn't know, Arthur didn't know the one thing that the guy knew, which is that the Vikings were protected by the king. He didn't know that.
Yeah, no. I do agree with that. But
so I think he was keeping up the whole time. He was trying to rile him up to keep telling his. The story, see if there's a lie in there to use.
Right.
Possibly. Or yeah. just to like...
Well, it was a cop thing, right? It was like
to get him to convince that like, he did mess with Vikings.
Sure, sure, sure.
Just so then he can say like, oh, you fucked up. You told me. And also, he's protected by the king. You know, could be one of those things like get the confession first, right, before you lock him up.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean...
That's what I thought anyway.
Some fun stuff, but...
Yeah.
Overall, very, yeah. very easygoing movie.
Movie of the week, yeah. Yeah. Easygoing. So that's our review for King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Stay with us for the next month as we don't know what we're reviewing. I have no idea. What's June? I don't know. We'll find out.
Some blockbuster.
Yeah, but tune into our show. Otherpodcast.com is where we have all this information, other shows and every show we're going to put out and other bonuses as well. Hopefully you've donated. If not, this is coming out to you 5 months later on. But we hope you enjoyed our review, if not the film. And we'll see you next month. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What the hell was that?